Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. Many of you could probably quote it from memory. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to give an introductory lesson tonight, but I'm working my way into talking about the spiritual gifts that are found in the Word of God. So this one you could kind of consider it to be maybe an introduction to that. Notice that statement, I will build my church. This church is one where all the members are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we have here at Anchor Baptist Church. To be a member of Anchor Baptist Church, you have to first be born again. You cannot be a member of this church unless you're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, you have to be baptized by immersion. This church is not a structure, but a body of believers. And that's where we're going to be talking about as we look through this, probably not tonight, but as we look into it further. Turn over to Acts chapter number 11. Jesus said again, I will build my church. This church is where the members are born-again believers, and it is a body, not a structure. In other words, by structure we mean the building that we're sitting in tonight. And again, I think most of us here know that, but it's good to hear things repeatedly. Acts chapter number 11. And in verse 26, at the end of the verse, I'll skip there because of time, it says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Okay, and so as we said a moment ago, his church is an assembly of professing believers in Christ called Christians. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, that's why we have the label Christian. And notice there, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The word Christians is from a word that is pronounced Christianos, which is simply that, a follower of Jesus Christ. So really, the goal for we as Christians is to be the best follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can. How do we know how to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can tell me quickly? How do we know? Right, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Mom held up her Bible. Ready to go, Mom. There you go. That's right. The way to be a follower of Jesus Christ is not necessarily to watch the pastor, although the pastor should lead us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But the best way to be a follower of the Lord, or know how to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to make sure that we are consuming this book all of the time, consuming the Word of God. His church is an assembly of professing believers in Christ called Christians. Number next, his church, again, we're talking about, I will build my church. I'm a firm believer that God did not save you or save me, and then it ends right there. Otherwise, I would be in heaven right now. He did not save me simply to take me to heaven. Now that's the end result, amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why did God save me? He saved me to bring honor and glory to Him. He didn't save me just to take me to heaven. Now I'm glad that I'm going to heaven when I die, don't get me wrong. But I don't want to be just focusing so much on when I die that right now I'm not doing anything to bring honor and glory to Him. And that's exactly why He saved us. He saved us to glorify, to bring honor to Him. I know in my life, too many times I've brought dishonor to Him. And that's because, again, we've talked about that old nature that we have. But we're focusing on these thoughts. Number next, His church is under the authority of Scripture, the Word of God. Okay? I will build my church. Number one, his church is an assembly of professing believers in Christ called Christians. Tonight, if you're not saved, that's the first step. By the way, the most important decision anybody can ever make is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some of you, including myself, we have family members tonight that if they died tonight, they would be in hell. Why? Because they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Many of them have a form of religion, but they don't have a relationship with God. The only way we can have that relationship is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that we can have that access to Him and we can have that relationship with Him. But nextly, His church is under the authority of Scripture, the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Again, you may know this verse, these verses by heart. The Bible says there, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That is what we're supposed to believe. How do we know what we're supposed to believe? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So how do we know what we're supposed to believe about this topic or this situation or this way? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's proper for doctrine, what we're supposed to believe. Number next, for reproof where we are wrong. How do we know we're wrong tonight? Because the pastor said we're wrong? No, because God's Word said we're wrong. If I'm not being the husband I ought to be, it's revealed to me in the Word of God. Husbands, love your wife. Wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It doesn't matter what we talk about. Reproof is where we've gone wrong. It's also profitable for correction. How to make it right. How do I love my wife properly? I've got to be in the Word of God. God's Word will help me with that. For correction, how to make it right. For instruction. What is instruction? How to keep it right. Have you ever said to somebody, I've told you 5 times. You know what? I know God feels that way with me. I've told you 5 times how to do this or how not to do this. That's instruction. I need repetition. Don't you need repetition? Repetition is the great key to learning. So instruction, how to keep it right in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So his church is an assembly of professing believers in Christ. His church is under the authority of Scripture. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. Follow these tonight. This is what we're praying for here. Number three, his church is established to fulfill the Great Commission by preaching the gospel to every creature and teaching every convert. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. To me, tonight, as we think about these opening remarks, these are what we will find in his church. If we don't find these things, then we're not finding his church. We might find a country club. That's not a church. We might find an activity center. That's not a church. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having activities, but that's not what should be leading the church. What should be leading the church is what we're looking at here tonight from God's Word. Matthew chapter 28, again, it's the Great Commission. And again, if everybody was involved in the Great Commission, we wouldn't have to read it so often. So we've got to keep reading it because I'm not involved in it enough. How about you? If we're not involved in the Great Commission every day, then we're not involved in it enough. I guarantee you, every day we come across someone that we could be a witness to in some way. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. See, that's one of the main things we got to make sure that we do not miss in his church is teaching them. It's a blessing. Right now, we have three, four, five, and we have one more coming that are going to be going through discipleship. We'll have 6 here very soon going through discipleship. And to me, that's very important for every one of us here tonight. And that's part of what we'll be talking about, probably not tonight. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So his church is established to fulfill the Great Commission. So in some way, we want to make sure that Anchor Baptist Church every week is fulfilling the Great Commission. preaching the gospel and teaching those who have already been saved. And we have to keep doing that and keep doing that and keep doing that. Nextly, his church performs two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We'll be observing the Lord's Supper on March 17th, God willing. I hope we'll be baptizing once again here very soon. His church, nextly, recognizes Christ Jesus is the head of the church. Turn to Colossians chapter number 1, please. Colossians chapter number 1. This is all really just kind of introduction. The gates of hell, I will build my church. So we're talking about God's church. What we want to pray for every day is that Anchor Baptist Church would be guilty of being God's church. We don't want someone to come in here and get the idea that this is man's church. We don't want to have a fleshly church, led church. Now, we're here. We're sinners saved by grace. But we want this to be God's church. And his church, Anchor Baptist, what we want to continue is to recognize that we have one head. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And he is the head. What does that mean? That means that he is the chief, or he is prominent. That's kind of the prominent, the top, right, of all of our structure is our head. Isn't it great how much God uses in the Word of God for us to be able to understand it, even in a literally a practical sense, that what controls everything that we do in our life is on our shoulders, our head, our brain, if you will, that God gives us. All of those signals that are going all through the body are coming from here to start with, right? And so what do we want to be controlling every part of Anchor Baptist Church? Not the hand, not the foot, definitely not the stomach. That controls enough of me already. No, we want it to be the head. Who's the head? The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. And so we want to make sure that if it's his church, that he remains as such. Number next, his church encourages its members to serve the Lord and be faithful until they are called home or Christ returns. This is where what we're getting at in this series. A church that's God's church encourages everyone to serve. Turn to Psalm 100, please. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, you may know these verses by memory as well. Psalm 100. Jesus said, I will build my church. How do we know it's his church? We've given you some indicators thus far. His church encourages its members to serve the Lord and be faithful. By the way, everyone here tonight, if you're saved, we have the ability, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, to serve and be faithful. You don't have to wear a tie to serve and be faithful. You don't have to wear a suit to serve and be faithful. You don't have to have a college diploma to serve and be faithful. Everybody in this room right here tonight, if you're saved, you have the ability with the help of the Holy Spirit of God to serve and be faithful. The psalmist says in verse number 2, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We want to make sure that this church always, 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 always encourages its members, her members, if you will, as we're the bride of Christ, to serve the Lord and be faithful. Quickly, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 24. I'm going to read these because I have some of them written out for time. Colossians 3:24 says, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." We are not serving the church. We are serving the Lord. We are not serving one another. We are serving the Lord. Yes, we will serve the church. And yes, we will serve one another. But our motivation is not those two things. It is serving the Lord. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 2. The Apostle Paul begins this letter in this fashion. "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae." To the saints and faithful brethren, faithful believers in Christ which are at Colossae. His church encourages its members to serve the Lord and be faithful until they are called home or he returns. His church is not a religion. It is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No Christ, no Christianity. No Christ, no church. Remember, he said, "I will build my church." As we consider these introductory statements, we have focused on who the church belongs to. Let's not forget that. This church belongs to the Lord. It does not belong to the members. It does not belong to the pastor. It belongs to the Lord. And we focus on who the church belongs to. However, we also are going to focus on what must continue to be accomplished in his church. Okay, so we're going to come to church on Sunday. We're going to come to church on Wednesday. That's all. No, that's not all. That's wonderful. That's awesome. But we have been saved. We are a called out assembly to go out into the world in which we live in and do what? And attract people to Christ by being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not attracting people to me, but it's attracting people to Christ. If we follow the biblical plan, we know this to be the case. God's church will be built. And by the way, we're not talking about a 500 member church. We're not talking about building it necessarily in those numbers, but we do pray, obviously, for any kind of numerical growth that God brings. The church will be built. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. "And there are diversities of operations." Okay? You might need an appendix taken out. You might need your spleen removed. No, that's not what it's talking about. I think everybody knew that. "There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. There are different diversities of operations, of workings, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." God works in your life to serve him in a way. God, in the same way, works in my life to serve him in my way. But it is the same God that worketh all in all. I was made differently than Brother Andrew Kim. But it is the same God that works through him, that works through me, for us to bring honor and glory to him in the way that God leads us to serve him. It is the same God. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm thankful tonight that we don't all look the same, talk the same, have the same personalities. We have different ways to work. We have different ways to serve. I believe that's what Paul is saying there in that verse that we read a moment ago. But it's the same God that worketh in and through us. And that's a blessing too, that he takes all of us as we are. Of course, he created it this way to bring honor and glory to him. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 22. It says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body," verse 23, "the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Let's look at that again. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head. There it is again. Jesus the head over the church, over all things to the church, which is his body. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. And that word filleth is what I kind of zero in on there. And it means to cause to abound. How are we going to abound? How are we going to grow? It's the head. It's the way the body allows the head to lead and to be that, just that, and just that. God is going to be who filleth, who causes to abound. Now, when God works, he has three functions, or three entities, if you will. I know not entities, but the three persons at work at the same time. Right? In creation, we see that. Let us make man in our own image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at work. When God works, the Trinity is involved. When in salvation, the Trinity is involved. The Holy Spirit convicts. Jesus Christ died on the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We see the whole working of God, as it said there. He worketh all in all. The church, God is the founder. Jesus Christ is the head, the president, if you will. The Holy Spirit oversees the servants within the ministry. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us those gifts. That's really what I'd like to speak about in the weeks that go ahead. But this is what I'm going to close with tonight. I want to give you now, just quickly, three principles of church ministry. Three principles of church ministry. And then all of that is what we're zeroing in on, is what the working of the Holy Spirit of God is. And that is this: every saved person here tonight, you have a spiritual gift or gifts. And if they're not being used, then you are missing out, and so is the body of Christ. And I want to make sure, as the under-shepherd, that we get all of those gifts that are already in your possession. You don't even maybe know what you have. But we can see from the Word of God what they are. But let's look at this quickly. Number one, three principles. Number one, ministry. Ministry, the word ministry. Ministry involves all Christians. Okay? If you're not writing these down, just think about them. But if you're writing them down, great. Write down the word ministry, and then beside that put all Christians. So, if you're a Christian tonight, you can say this with me. I am in the ministry. If you're a Christian, would you say that with me? I am in the ministry. You know, no, I thought the pastor's in the ministry. No, all of us are in the ministry. If we're saved tonight, we're in the ministry. We have different gifts, we have different abilities, we have different talents, but everyone is involved in the ministry. The Lord's ministry, by the way, is a volunteer ministry. We must make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve, right? It's a choice. God doesn't make us serve him in ministry. But he calls us to do that. He gives us opportunity to do that. It is a volunteer ministry. Our serving ministry, why do we want to be in the ministry? Here it is. I am motivated to be in the ministry because of the mercies of God that have been bestowed upon my life. Think about the mercies of God that have been bestowed upon your life. Think of if you would have died without Christ, where you would be tonight. You would be in hell with no chance of escape. But by the mercies of God, we are not consumed. I just think about that tonight. I'm on my way to heaven because of the mercies of God. And so when I think about the mercies of God, it motivates me. The fact that tonight we are changed because of God. We are a different person because of the love, because of the mercy of God. Therefore, serving the Lord is a privilege, and that's what motivates. Remember, ministry is for all Christians. Serving the Lord is for a lifetime. It's for a lifetime. By the way, you know that you can serve the Lord by with a cup of cold water. You can serve the Lord and no one would ever know. You can serve the Lord in the background. You can serve the Lord where no one sees you. That's not what this is about, because this is about the Lord. It's a lifetime commitment, or it takes commitment. Salvation, it's all because of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have to do anything to get saved. My salvation is enough of a reason to dedicate my life to serving Jesus in some way. Turn to Romans chapter 12, please, quickly. Ministry involves all Christians. Ministry involves all Christians. If you're 6 years old tonight and you're saved, you're in the ministry. If you're 16 years old tonight and you're saved, you're in the ministry. If you're older than 16, amen? It doesn't matter. If you're saved, you're in the ministry. I'm so thankful for the team of ladies that help in the nursery. They're in the ministry. I'm so thankful for people that put songbooks out and collect songbooks. I mean, I'm going to say in a few minutes, we're going to pray and say amen, and a lot of people are going to be like ants. Songbooks are going to mysteriously lift up off the seat and end up over here on the shelf. I'm just saying, you know what? This is for the Lord, every bit of it. What a privilege it is to be called a Christian. Remember? A follower of Jesus Christ. It's such a great privilege. Notice what Paul said there in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Christians, I beg of you, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, there it is again, that ye present, volunteer, your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed, be not as the world, to this world, but be transformed, a changed life, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice that ye present. It's a volunteer. It's us saying, yes, I present myself in service to God in whatever way God would care to use my feeble efforts. I want you to ask yourself this question and pray with me over these next several Wednesday nights when God allows me the opportunity to speak. Do you desire to be used of the Lord? To be used of God is my desire. Do you desire to be more like Jesus every day? Have you presented yourself to the Lord for His service? I want you to think about these questions. God has a place for every born-again child of God in His ministry. Remember, I will build my church. It's His ministry. Number two, write down the word abilities. 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 These will differ. Ministry involves all Christians. Number two, abilities. These will differ. We are given natural abilities at birth and spiritual abilities when we are born again. In most cases, it is not that we do not possess abilities. It is that we are not using the abilities that we have for God. I don't even know what some of you have the ability to do. God does. God's given you that ability. And we're not talking about the ability all of the time wrapped around preaching, soul winning, and things like that. Those are important. I'm not saying those are abilities. I'm just saying, a lot of times we think about, well, the ability I have is with computers. You know what? We actually could use some help with computer. If you have any kind of computer ability, we could use some help with that. I'm just using that as an example, that a lot of times we think, well, my area of ministry for the Lord, I could never stand up and preach a sermon. Maybe God would never want you to preach a sermon. But you have something else that you can do that is something that you like to do that even could be used within the ministry. We could use that. That's part of the gifts as well. We ought to Potential is simply that, potential. You ever heard somebody say, that guy's got a lot of potential. That girl's got a lot of potential. You know what? Potential doesn't get anything done. It's just potential. Meaning it may not happen. But here's the thought. With God's help, potential can become reality. Potential can become something getting accomplished. We ought to continually seek to develop and increase our abilities. Don't limit your ministry. Listen to that statement. Don't limit your ministry. The devil wants to limit your ministry. I can't do this for God. Don't say I can't. God, what would you have me to do? How would you like me to increase my ministry for you? Boy, God deserves our best. Many times God gets my leftovers. He deserves my best. Number three, and this is where we're going to be talking about here later, is gifts, spiritual gifts. These are God-given. Everyone tonight who is a born-again child of God has spiritual gifts. I found this statement, and I believe it to be honestly, completely accurate. If every born-again child of God would use their spiritual gifts for God, every need would be met in ministry. If all would serve within their abilities and gifts. Look, it's not a competition. It's not a competition. I have a better gift than you. You have a better gift than me. Blah, blah, blah. This is not a competition. No, we're a body. We're a family. We are serving the King. We are not serving the pastor. We are serving the King. Quickly, the gifts or gifts that you have been given are to be used to edify and encourage the body of Christ. They are to be used to teach and train Christians who will then teach and train Christians. This cycle should be continuing until Jesus comes. The Lord started with 12 disciples. He started the 12. He started telling them what? Come, follow me. Later he would say, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and teach those who come to salvation. You realize this? That is plan A, and there is no plan B. Win people to Christ and teach them. What do you teach them to do? Win people to Christ and teach them the things of God that have been taught to us. Teaching and training others should lead to teaching and training others. And again, I ran out of time there, but this is the last thing I wrote down. Teaching and training others ought to be seen in our church as well as in our home. Teaching and training others. You know what, I believe we have a church that sincerely, or this church, it's Anchor Baptist, it's the Lord's church, sincerely wants to please the Lord in all that we say and do. You know what, I really believe that we have, within our group here, within this church, we have many people that have abilities. And we have many, we have everybody that's saved has gifts. But I think we need to unwrap them. We need to unwrap those gifts. What has God given me? And what is it for? It's to glorify God, but it's also to edify and equip